You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another Locked On Wolves podcast. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, breaking down all the action from last night. We're going to talk about the Hawks game. We're going to talk about why you shouldn't give up on this team yet. And maybe I'm going to have to try and convince Trey why we shouldn't give up on this team yet. But we're going to talk about why not to give up on the Timberwolves and then looking ahead to the next game for the Timberwolves. And so we're going to start off with that Hawks game. Overtime loss to the Atlanta Hawks, Trey. 131-123. And it was unfortunate because I actually thought the Timberwolves played really well in this game, surprisingly.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did. It was unfortunate because I feel like everything we just said on yesterday's podcast came to fruition, and Trae Young and John Collins were really the main factors of Atlanta's team in this one, offensive and defensively. Of course, like in overtime, you'd guys like DeAndre Bembry really step up, or Vince Carter did pretty well, really well, actually. And, when I saw guys like Kent Bazemore see themselves out of the game, go like 0 for 12 in 14 minutes, like I was pretty confident that relying on Trae Young and John Collins wouldn't be enough, because I didn't think other guys could pull through. And then when Dwayne Dedmon fouled out pretty early, I got even more confident. But it just wasn't enough for this young basketball team that is more confident than they should be. And maybe that's the right way to go about doing things as a young team. And maybe Minnesota should take notes, because this is a very, very, very confident team at home. It gave me a very kind of Sixers vibe, Philadelphia 76ers, which was a little scary. But, I mean, Cole, we pretty much called it on both ends. We knew Towns was going to be the guy to go to on Minnesota. 37-18-3, huge game, fouled out, which is like essentially what we said was going to happen. And then John Collins and Trae Young just took over. It was just a really unfortunate loss. But before we get into it, I'm going to say right off the top, even though we looked pitiful in that overtime, I don't think this is the end for Minnesota's playoff hopes. I think it was just an unfortunate loss, catching Atlanta on a night where they were feeling themselves. And this doesn't really show the Timberwolves they're not a playoff team.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons to get down. You could see it on Wolves Twitter all over the place last night. There's a lot of reasons to get down on this team after this one. Most notably that the Timberwolves struggled mightily with pick and roll defense, and Tyus Jones really looked victimized in this one, and it's disappointing because he's probably the best defensive point guard on this team, and he was really victimized. But you also hope that in the backcourt, Josh Okogie might be able to play a little bit better. But yet again, the Timberwolves really struggle with a team that runs a ton of pick and roll, especially when you're getting guys like a Trae Young free via that pick and roll. So that's something they've had a problem with all season long, and it just looked very apparent against Trae Young, who shot really well in this game. He was 40% from the field, 40% from three. He was 94% on 17 free throw attempts and ended up with 36 points. He was looking a little James Harden-esque the way he was driving to the cup and getting so many free throw attempts and then getting some nice three-point looks for his team. But it was a lot of Trae Young in this one, and so that's a reason to be upset. Towns fouling up is a reason to be upset. A loss to the Hawks, definitely a reason to be upset. Another loss to the Hawks were free throws. They missed 10 free throws in this game, and that was actually ended up being a pretty big stat for the Timberwolves. But I gotta say, you look across the board, Towns, if he doesn't foul, he only had 19 shots and he had 37 points. That's ridiculous. And I know that you probably hope that he stays in this game, but and it sucks that he fouled out. But if he doesn't foul out, I mean, you hope he has, what, 30 shots because he's shooting 63%. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, 21 points. He shot 45%. He actually had a pretty solid night as far as shooting, and he didn't look terrible either. And then you have Derrick Rose, who had another really good night, 18 points off the bench. He was efficient as well, 41%, and he got to the line a few times. I don't know. It just it felt like there was a couple things that we thought might be a problem, but they still came out in the first quarter and scored 40 points. They still came out in the second quarter and went into the halftime looking really good. There was still a really good energy around this team. And yeah, you know what? They laid a big crap in the overtime period, and they probably shouldn't have let it get into overtime. But I don't know. I don't know why, but I'm still not out on this team yet. I'm still not ready to say this is over. I'm with you, Trey. This run can still happen.
It really all depends how they finish this, you know, the road games that they have left. You know, they have Indiana, Washington, and both away, obviously. And so the Pacers game is going to be really tough. That's tonight. I'm a little worried about that because this is a demoralizing loss that we had against the Atlanta Hawks. So it's going to be tough to go into this one at Indiana. The guys are just getting off the plane. Probably like 2 hours ago. And then you look at the Washington on Sunday night where they get Friday and Saturday to rest. That's probably a W. But this Indiana game is making me really worried because this is the game I picked Minnesota to lose if they were going to lose one of these three. I really thought they were going to come through against the Hawks. Yeah, it's just unfortunate, but it is what it is. I'm still confident. If you still look at our past six games, we're 4-2. You know, I still think it can look up from here as long as you can pull out a W against Indiana. But, you know, Colin, can we just say that I think we're both pretty accurate that this Atlanta Hawks team, even though they're pretty young, this is definitely the Sacramento Kings of the East. Like, that you can see if they stay together in a year or two, this is going to be a legit contender for the playoffs as a top 7-8 seed. Just going into next season, what are your thoughts on this team?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think the thing that the Hawks are missing that I think the Kings have right now is just a little more depth at some of those swinging forward positions, and obviously some trades definitely helped with that. It wasn't just all drafts, like getting guys like Buddy Hield in a trade or getting guys like Harrison Barnes this year in a trade. But I think that the Kings just have a little more forward depth and a little more versatility at forward. But other than that, I think that you're absolutely right. This is kind of the same. That's the same kind of blueprint where you're playing really fast, up-tempo basketball. You're hurting teams from deep, but you're also taking advantage of teams in transition, getting to the basket. And I think that's kind of the blueprint for this team and where you hope to go over the next couple of years. We're going to take a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get back into why you should still have some chips on this team. But first, some sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, talking about the Atlanta Hawks loss. And again, this is a real bummer of a loss. They should not lose to the Atlanta Hawks, but this team does pose the things that the Timberwolves really hate, namely a fast backcourt and a lot of three-point shooting. And they really even didn't take a ton of threes. They took less threes than the Timberwolves, but they shot 41% from three versus the 31% the Timberwolves had. And they were able to take advantage of their free throw shooting a lot better than the Timberwolves were able to. Those were two big keys outside of the pick-and-roll defense that the Timberwolves just could not click into. And again, this is a team in the Timberwolves that played really well without Towns against the Bucks, and they beat a really good team in the Sacramento Kings, and they trounced the Rockets. They walloped the Clippers. I just think that the Timberwolves play weird in some spots, but I don't see, like I was saying earlier, I don't see a disconnect between the Kings team, the team that beat the Kings, and the team that lost the Hawks. And that's why I have some confidence going into this Pacers game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it is good to highlight some performances in this one besides Towns. Like, Andrew Wiggins had 5 points and a block in the fourth quarter. He only shot three times, but he was 2 for 3, 5 points. And then in the fourth quarter, a player that did not do well that always does well 90% of the time, which you can expect he'll do well tonight, was Derrick Rose. In 6 minutes of play, he was 1 of 5 for 2 points, and, you know, 2 fouls. And then if you look in overtime. It was essentially trying to be led by Towns, you know, in the 4 or 5 minutes they had there. Andrew Wiggins was 0-for-3. Actually, just everybody who wasn't Carl Anthony Towns missed a shot. So outside of Towns, they were 0-for-7, the Minnesota Timberwolves team. That included Tyus Jones, Josh Kogi, Dario Saric, Andrew Wiggins in overtime. That's just very unfortunate, and it can't happen. It's really just too bad it happens that way. And as you were saying, Colton, like, I'm still fairly confident going into these Indiana Pacers game tonight and the Washington Wizards game on Sunday. But again, this is demoralizing. I do not know how the team is going to feel about this one. I didn't see any alarming quotes after the game. I know that Carl Anthony Towns looked very frustrated, but I think that's just a natural frustration. And the Atlanta Hawks were besides themselves. They're very excited. The one guy who didn't look too, you know, overjoyous was Trae Young. That dude has a chip on the shoulder that I think no one really understands, and I think he's really trying to prove to people he's one of the best players out of that draft class. I think you might have, I don't know if you saw it, but there was like an NBA interview of the top four rookies in that draft, but they didn't include Young with that fifth pick, even though he was kind of like the third, but he was traded. And he like tweeted something or Instagrammed something about how he was left out. And since then, he's averaging like 32 points like, since that interview. So he's like on another planet right now. So
I like
it. Shout out to him. I think that players on our team kind of need that chip. And I haven't really said anything negative about Tyus Jones recently, but I think you brought it up. Like, he could just not keep up with Trae Young. And then Andrew Wiggins in fourth quarter and overtime essentially let DeAndre Bembry look like a better version of him, which was terrible. So it was unfortunate. It was just Minnesota through the first three quarters looked really, really solid against a bad basketball team. So I guess they looked average and you think of it outside the box. But they were doing well and they had the lead. And then the fourth quarter, Atlanta just took over to use that home crowd to their advantage. Trae Young was fiery. John Collins was monstrous. And in overtime, they killed it.
I think, actually, shout out to you, because you did call that DeAndre Bembry, that he was going to be a better version of Wiggins. I'm pretty sure you called that. So shout out to you for just knowing the hell out of your basketball.
Unfortunately, I've said that.
Also, when you have Vince Carter doing that voodoo hang in the air, floating walking man deal, it's probably not going to go very well in the fourth quarter. But yeah, it was a bummer. I do see, in transitioning here to the Pacers game a little bit, I did see a surprising amount of pullback on Sarge as a starter in Timberwolves Twitter yesterday. I gotta say, he's way too important. I know he had, let me just preface this. He had a dreadful night. He really did. It was truly terrible. Truly terrible game from Sarge. Really unfortunate. But he is way too important to this team to bail because of one bad night. It was one of the few times he started, but it was one bad night, and he's way too important to just sell the train on Sarge yet. He's got to get back on the horse. I want to see him take like 5 or 7 threes tonight because you need him to. And yeah, he went 0-for-6 against the Hawks, but you need him to get right back on the horse because if you start shedding guys like Sarge before you're trying to make a run like this, you're screwed.
Yeah, well, when people loved that 3-game winning streak only a week ago by Minnesota, the first win of that win streak was the first start of Dario Saric in a Timberwolves jersey. So the Minnesota Timberwolves right now are on their 4-2 record of the past 6 games, but that's also Dario Saric's record as a starter for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, of course, he had a really, really bad game. He's actually put up 2 bad games in the only 2 losses in these 6 games. In Milwaukee, he was 2-of-11. For 7 points, looks pretty atrocious. And then if you look at this Atlanta game, he was 1-of-11 for 6 points, 2 steals, and 4 assists. And then his 3 wins, he averaged around 16 to 17 points and shot about 50-60% from the 3-point line. So unfortunately, it's been inconsistent, but Minnesota is 4-2 with him starting. I think you continue to use him more in the lineup. I think people's frustrations are noted, and I think he is probably well aware of this. If you have 2 losses in his, and you know, when he starts, and then 4 wins, and in those 4 wins, he's pretty consistent with his numbers. But in those 2 losses, he essentially shoots, He does shoot 3 of 22 and 2 losses. That's definitely something that Ryan Saunders and the coaching staff are going to talk to him about and see what's going on and who he doesn't play well against. And frankly, I think it's just this, and it's plainly as this, and it's what I brought up in the last podcast. Dario, Taj Gibson cannot keep up with guys like John Collins and Giannis Antetokounmpo. They simply will get out, muscled by these guys. And we really don't have the length or size or insanity that is a John Collins or Giannis. And the only player I could think of that was kind of like that was Andrew Wiggins. And it was obvious watching the Milwaukee and Atlanta game that Dario just could not keep up with these guys. Maybe he'd be better suited elsewhere off the bench. So this is just a matchup problem. I think when we go against Indiana tonight, they're going to have a good defender in Thad Young. But Dario is a little crafty, and I think he'll be able to figure that one out. So I'm not too worried moving forward.
Speaking of just athletic wing type players, before we get into some predictions here for this Pacers game, we didn't have a chance to cover it because it broke after we were finished with the podcast yesterday, but Covington is on the Iowa Wolves. He's coming back. That's a really good sign. That's a really good sign for his return this season. And I gotta say, if you can get Covington back at what, 85-90%, gosh, there's a lot of reasons to think this team might be able to sneak into the playoffs if he returns like next week and he's at 85-90%.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. That would change this the motions of this team, to the trajectory of where this team predicted they were going to go as of today to where they could go in about a week if they get him back. He's just such a key defender that would allow the Minnesota Timberwolves to even throw a guy like Andrew Wiggins on John Collins in this past game. So then you could have put Robert Covington at the 3, had Okogie or Rose at the 2, and then start Tyus Jones or Jeff Teague. Health has been a huge concern for Minnesota all season long. Definitely not an excuse against this Atlanta Hawks team and this loss. But with Robert Covington coming back, hopefully in the next week or so, I was predicting by like Sunday, I'm going to say more so like probably Wednesday or Thursday next week, because I think the Iowa team is their first game is on Saturday. And once we see how he does in that game, which I'm assuming he's going to put up some solid numbers, they're definitely going to give him the majority or bulk of the time on offense and defense. We're going to need him because, as we've said, our schedule is a top 5 hardest strength schedule in the NBA going moving forward. We have about 19 games left in the regular season, and we're playing teams like the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Golden State Warriors, the Portland Trail Blazers, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. So it's just there's a lot of good teams on the upcoming schedule. So we just got to get ready for that. And we got to start tonight against Indiana. We have to. And hopefully Robert Covington can, rest up while we take care of business at Indiana and then at Washington.
We're going to take a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get into predictions for the Pacers game tonight. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, we've been talking about the Hawks, talking about why you should stay excited for this team, and a little bit of Robert Covington. Now we're really going to get into this Pacers game. I was looking at the stats, just points per game in February, and the Timberwolves are 8th in the NBA through the month of February with 117 points per game. The Pacers are 22nd with 110.2 points per game. I actually think when we were talking about the Hawks, it's the inverse strategy maybe against the Pacers. They have a really solid front court. They've got some really big pieces up front. And maybe the best route is if you throw a couple point guards out there, maybe go Tyus Jones, Derrick Rose, speed up the pace a little bit and try and just make this team uncomfortable with the scoring that you're doing. Maybe the inverse of the strategy against the Hawks is what will be the key for the Timberwolves. I think that if you have a really fast-paced offense and Derrick Rose has like 25 points off the bench, I think that's the route for a Timberwolves victory here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you can attack their backcourt, you'll be good. The hard part of this team, the difficult part of this team, which makes them arguably the best or second-best defense in the NBA, is Miles Turner, Thaddeus Young, and now Wes Matthews. Their ability to switch quickly over the past 6 to 8 games has kind of separated them from the rest of this league. Even post-Victor Oladipo injury, they've kept all of their defensive statistics up. They've allowed more points to their opponents. They're obviously losing a little bit more but they still cemented that third seed in the Eastern Conference. This is a legit basketball team. Wesley Matthews no longer looks like a shell of himself. He knows he's on a legit contender. Bojan Bogdanovic has been playing out of his mind this season, and it's not really been noted, mostly because he looks like a substitute teacher, but he is really, really good. Like, all the love that Joe Ingles was getting last season, everybody who didn't really watch basketball that kind of saw highlights of Joe Ingles and what Joe Ingles was and now has a thought of what Joe Ingles is everything that Bojan Bogdanovic is this season. Like, legit. Like, on offense and defense, he's been playing fantastic. And then on the back end for the bench, Corey Joseph has tried to lead that bench unit with Doug McDermott, TJ Leaf, and Kyle O'Quinn. So that's where Minnesota needs to attack. I do agree on the backcourt, but it's got to be off the bench for me in this one. Like, guys like Derrick Rose definitely need to step up if they're coming off the bench. You got to have, players like even Luol Deng come through. You know, I hate to say that, but Taj Gibson has definitely have to come through in this game against Kyle O'Quinn. He's got to play better. And you got to hope that those guys, you know, can take care of business, and you can give guys like Jared Bayless 12, 14 minutes, let them get some shots up against a bad backcourt. I think Corey Joseph is a good point guard, but he is a little older and years, so he's going to be a little slower off the bounce. So Jared Bayless can relate to that. So I would just hope that the bench can take care of business in this one. And you really have to hope that Derrick Rose shows up in this one, because that 1-for-5 performance in the fourth quarter wasn't a good sign going into tonight. I don't expect him to do that. I do expect Minnesota to come back with a W, because I think if they know if they lose this game tonight with LA, the Lakers winning last night, that playoff hopes are, they're close to being over, very close. And so I think they know they need to win tonight, and it's a must win or go home situation. And Indiana does not feel the same way. They can cement a top five seed home field advantage fairly quickly this season. In the last 20 games, they really only have to win half. So that's my thought process going into this game. I think we'll come out with a W. I think Towns will put up another monstrous game. I think Andrew Wiggins will look Wiggins-y. I think Tyus Jones will play better. I think Josh Okogie will get some good minutes. And Dario most likely will step up a little bit more, even though he's playing one of the better defenders in the league, and Thaddeus Young.
I think that, well, first of all, your point about the Lakers, I think that you can almost sense the urgency from LA, and the Timberwolves really have to match it. And so the nice part is that LA has about as difficult a schedule to finish out the season as the Timberwolves. And as far as just this game, I know this is going to sound like poison to you, but Jeff Teague is questionable for this one. If they can get even like 18 minutes out of him, seriously, if they can get 18 minutes out of him, that would really help them run more 2-point guard rotations. Right. And if you can put the onus of this game on Collison and Aaron Holiday and Corey Joseph, as opposed to Bogdanovich and Thaddeus Young and Miles Turner, that's how you win this game. And I think the Dallas Mavericks gave you the blueprint for this. I mean, they started out slow, and Dallas was having 20-point quarters to start out that game the other night against the Pacers, and then they finished in the fourth quarter with 31 points. And you look at this Indiana Pacers team, and they're just not built to keep up with a fast-paced offense, especially when you're getting a lot of offense from your guards. And so Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic, both those guys had 24 and 26 points respectively, and that's how you win this game, is really going strong with your backcourt and really showing up with your backcourt. And that's what you need to see from the Timberwolves tonight. And so Derrick Rose has to have a big game. If you can get Jeff Teague in there, and he can get, like, I don't know, if he can even just get four, like a 14-8 kind of stat line with points and assists, that would be great. If Tyus Jones can get comfortable and maybe get some transition buckets, like, this is how you win this game and put the Pacers on their heels.
Yeah, if Jeff T gets the start, I might actually just throw Derrick Rose next to him in the backcourt in the starting lineup and let Tyus Jones lead that backup team. Just because I think we're going to – I completely agree with you. It's going to be very difficult to try to silence Bogdanovich, try to, you know, make Thaddeus Young look like a shell of himself. It's going to be very hard to do these things. And Miles Turner, who we really haven't talked about, is legit center. A lot of people thought he was going to be like a Carl Anthony Towns type player, but he's not really showing up to that. But he's definitely a solid center in this league, very deserving of his starting spot and contract. He's a good player. So he's someone to watch out for, too. And hopefully Towns can get the better of him, which with the streak he's on now, he probably will. So I'd like to see a Jeff Teague Derrick Rose backcourt with Tyus Jones coming off the bench. That would be nice to see. And I know he did not play last night because he was questionable, but there's definitely a chance he'll play tonight. I think they're moving more towards hoping he can play Sunday just to get that break there and not play them back-to-back. I think they really wanted him in an ideal world to come back and at the home game, the first home game after all this. But unfortunately, that loss to Atlanta was not predicted. So it is what it is, and we're going to need whatever it takes. And guys just got to wake up and realize that the playoff hopes, they're falling out of our hands. We're four games back again. It's not looking great. All the teams below the eighth seed and between the eighth seed and 13th seed are 4-6 in their last 10 games. Everyone's playing pretty crappy. So it's now or never. It really is, Colton.
So for this game, I'm thinking a 104-96 victory for the Timberwolves. What say you?
I'm going to say a 99-91 victory. I think it's going to be not a high scoring game in this one. Minnesota hasn't dropped, hasn't gone under 100 points since their loss or win to the Memphis Grizzlies on January 30th. This Indiana Pacers team is very good. I think they'll hold us just under 100 points at 99. I think we can hold Indiana to just a little bit above a 90 with 91 points. So 8-point spread there. But ultimately, I have Minnesota winning. That's all I care about. I hope they just blow out this W.
Either way, we're saying take the under. Take the under in 222 or 221.5 is all we're trying to say. That's all we're trying to say for the people. Put some money in your pocket. Yeah. All right, that's it for us. Thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On podcast.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.